Are you on dope?
Yes.
What kind?
Musical dope.
You get high?
Yes.
Off of what?
Music.
Are you on a trip or something?
Yes.
What kind of a trip?
Music.
How old are you?
I'm old in mind, but young in age.
Hi, this is Lady Blackbird, and you're listening to Soul Discovery.
This is Brianna Marie, and you're listening to Soul Discovery, a place run by passion and really dedicated to its music, artists, producers, and record labels, which makes it a unique place, but also a place where listeners come to really absorb themselves and can tap into their emotions and take themselves on a discovery of their own.
I can perform and lead you and your 209 Radio Soul Discovery on a Saturday afternoon. And you're listening to the Moncler's Hung Up On Your Love, Paula Records 1973. It's a classic. And before that, Hey You, Don't Fight It, the Moncler's, and the guy behind those tracks, hopefully is at the end of this line. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning, how are you?
Not too bad. When was the last time you heard those tracks?
Oh man, it's been a long time since I heard them over the air.
Yes, they're total classics in the UK. They get played every so often. They have an oldies all dayer or an oldies all nighter in the UK, and they're just ones that fill the floor, and they're very sought after.
You know, I'm very thankful that they're even still being played.
They're records that they're timeless. I said, "How's things going with you anyway?"
Oh, they're going fine, man. I just started recording another CD of classics called Deja Vu. A lot of songs that your listeners will remember. If you don't know me by now, Deja Vu, obviously. Gosh, forgive me, my mind seems to be slipping away at 5 o'clock in the morning.
That's all right, Phil. We'll play some of your tracks from the 60s up to the 70s and then bring it all up to present day. Is that okay with you?
I said that'd be fine with me, mate.
Moncler's Phil Perry. Phil, joining the Moncler's, what was it like that time?
Well, it was certainly one of the golden ages of the R&B stand-up group era. Obviously, you had the groups like the Spinners and the Miracles and the Temptations, but there were other little groups popping up. We were one of those little groups in the Midwest that popped up that were a regional opening act for some of the artists that I had mentioned.
You come from the gospel side, and you formed. Was it you that brought the Moncler's together at the time?
No, unfortunately, it was one of the only deceased member of the Moncler's, a guy named George McClellan, brought the group together. Even when we were in junior high school, we were getting in one another's garages, getting together and working out harmonies and learning how to sing doo-wop stuff. And then we started composing. Actually, I started composing music along with Kevin Sandlin, who is the lead singer of I Need You More Than Ever. And we wrote, maybe 20, 25 songs, and just picked and worked those songs up to taking them to the studio.
Yes, I have. what I feel is real. Tell me your love, when I be ahead, and tell me that there's just no turning back. Dreaming that I see you. No.
The name of the album, that was the title track, Dreaming Out of Season. That was one of your first albums, the Moncler's, on Paula Records. You took it to another level. Your vocals, I hope this is not an insult, but your vocals seemed to, you found them, and you seemed to find that range that you were looking for when you were doing the dance stuff with the early Moncler's. But this takes it to another level.
Well, as I said, that was the second single that I had composed for the group, and I started really getting into composition then, and I felt, let's just say, more confident about singing material that I had written.
Mm.
And I think it was reflected in the performance.
The next track I'm going to play, if anybody come along and they said to me, Mick, you've been playing soul for all these years, and can you describe it and tell us what it's about? Well, I think this would sum up the whole lot, because it's just heart-wrenching. It makes you happy. Just play it.
Oh, wow. Dang, it's hard to do.
I'd like to tell you all the story, if you listen. So have a chair, sit right there, while I bear my heart to you. I've lived and held this last 3 months without a
no.
Discovery on a Saturday afternoon, live from the USA, Phil Perry. Phil, that is just unbelievable, that. The vocal range in that is it's undescribable. It's soul as how soul should be sung. That's fantastic.
It's just honest, man, you know. It's I'm reminded that in my youth, I didn't always wear my heart on my sleeve, but I think Begging's Hard to Do was the beginning of me learning that process.
Yeah, it's one of them records that you'll always go back. It's up there with the Marvin Gaye's and the Sam D's albums, and this one is just there amongst them all. Then you moved.
You put in that company when you talk about Marvin Gaye and, you know, cornerstones of R&B music. It's nice to be mentioned in that group.
Well, I think it's deserved. Well, this is when you moved on and away from the Monclairs.
Oh, yeah.
I adore you. When I'm with you, I'm riding on a star. We're the two that were chosen by the heavens, and you can't believe I never strayed too far.
Moving across to Capitol Records, you and Stanley went across and you created your own sound, taken from the album. You can tell me, can you?
Yes, let me see. That was...
For Those Who Love.
Let me think. Yeah, For Those Who Love. First album on Capitol.
Yes, and...
exactly right.
You joined Charles Jackson, who's renowned for his mellow sound.
He was a producer and a songwriter. His most noted stuff back then was Natalie Cole.
Yes,
he and Marvin Yancey wrote for Natalie Cole and produced her stuff. So, yeah, it was that was when I first moved to California. I hooked up with him. We also co-wrote Aretha Franklin's first single on Arista, which was a song called United Together.
That's right, yes. And how did you come across Charles Jackson?
Actually, a homeboy of mine, a guy that I knew back in our hometown, had moved out and gotten in contact with him. And he formally introduced me. Although back in the late 60s, early 70s, we used to do shows with the Independents, the singing group, the Independents.
Yes, yeah, well known in the UK.
Can't be what you're trying to me, baby. And Chuck Jackson was a member of that singing group as well.
That's correct, yeah, and he's renowned for his writing as well.
He's a wonderful songwriter.
Yeah, definitely. We'll take another track from this album because it's just so right.
Well, just to make you happy.
Honey, could I have just a few minutes of your time? There's something real important I'd like to say to you.
To make you feel happy today, I'd play a tune for you.
If you feel like you want to join in, Phil, I'll just leave the mic open.
Thanks so much for the invitation.
Right after, you kiss me in the magical way. Touch a part of me people never see. Believe it, I mean it. You may never understand this feeling that you bring, this cross between what's real and dream, that makes this old heart sing. You're pumping all the strength, that's what I need. Eternally. Enjoy.
That's off the album. That was produced by Cecil Hale.
Man, that is incredible to hear that. To hear this music this time of morning. It's so nostalgic. It takes me back to so many different times and eras and phases of my life. It's incredible.
Yeah, could you tell us more about Cecil Hale? How? Because it's probably ignorance by me, but I've not come across him before. Cecil Hale. Yes.
He was Dr. Cecil Hale. He was an administrator at Capitol at the time.
Oh, right.
He was, if I'm not mistaken, he was over A&R. And I had just written Just to Make You Happy and just laid down a piano and vocal demo of it. And we took it up to his office, Chuck Jackson and I. Kevin wasn't available at the meeting. And he flipped over the song. And he said, you know, this is the kind of music that I got into the music industry for. And it dawned on me, I thought, well, shoot, this is the kind of music I got in the music industry for. So we found that we had a lot in common. Unfortunately, his tenure at Capitol wasn't very long thereafter. It might have had something to do with the fact of the money that he spent on our record in terms of production. And, oh, when I hear that back, I listen to Michael McGlory and John Barnes and Ndugu Chancellor playing drums, Kevin playing the bass, and me playing the Fender Rhodes. I mean, it just goes back to a time when we didn't have computers making the music for us, where you really had to play, and you really had to be sensitive to what individuals in the studio were playing alongside what you were playing. It just reminds me that in today's society, in the digital age, we lean a little too heavy on computers as opposed to leaning on one another, which is the original intent of music, for people to come together who have spent time to learn the craft of playing an instrument, to create magic in one particular song. It touches me on the inside. It reminds me of why, after all these years, I'm still in the industry.
I'd lay down my life without asking why for your love. Just to make you happy. For your love. Just to make you happy. Just to make you happy.
moving away from Capitol, where did you go next?
My next CD came out on GIP Records. The origin of it started when I was at Capitol. but the powers that be, a.k.a. the administrative powers, the presidency, went to someone else who really didn't hear the direction of where I was going. He thought it was a little too old school. And so we were released by Capitol Records. And the music that I had started for another record came, for the Capitol Record Company, actually came out on a GRP label, of which I had been doing some sideman work on the road. I sang with Lee Ritenour for years and years and years and was a part of some of the GRP All-Star work, did several videos with him. And so that's the Pure Pleasure record came out on the GRP label.
Feel free to join in.
Just like the feeling from the ash I rise, ready to love,
ready to love again.
It's not been easy, but I'm doing all right. My heart is on the
Soul Discovery on a Saturday afternoon, live on the phone from the United States, one of the legends, Phil Perry. Phil, you really found yourself with this track. It's everybody became aware of your name and everybody was after you. Is that correct? Because people started to ask you to go onto their albums.
Well, this was one of those catalyst tracks that take you to another level in your career. The track was written by Barry Eastman and also produced by Barry Eastman, but you know, a lot of the elements that I had been around in the GRP camp and doing live shows are represented on One Touch. That's Anthony Jackson playing bass. For those of your listeners who follow Anthony Jackson, you know he's played on so many big songs, and I really think the association and collaboration of the musicians on that track really pushed me to new heights as an artist in terms of what I did in the studio, the freeness that I had in the studio, a different form of expression, a little more groove under me as opposed to my earlier works with either Perry and Sandlin or with the Montclair.
And one of the people that used you for a session on one of his Japanese albums on the Electric Bird was the Michael White album.
Oh, yeah, Mike White, great guy. We have an ongoing, wonderful relationship right now. Mike called and said, you know, I got a track from a Japanese guy, but it doesn't really have a melody to it, and it doesn't have any lyrics. Do you think you can do something with it? And so I went, picked up the track, came back home, listened to it, started writing to it, He said, we're in the studio a day after tomorrow. You think you'll be finished? I said, yeah, but don't you want to hear it first? He said, no, if you're going to write to it, I know whatever you write is going to be straight, which is a wonderful vote of confidence from one of the better producer slash musicians in R&B or smooth jazz music. We got to the studio. I laid down a scratch track. I laid down some of the backgrounds. John Beasley, a wonderful keyboard player, wrote the string arrangement in the studio and performed it on a synthesizer. We finished that whole song, track, backgrounds, lead vocal, arrangement, in a day.
My God.
Taken from the album How Strong We Believe, Michael White, and that track by Phil Perry, So Far Away. Just unbelievable for words, that track.
Oh, fair. You have no idea what this does to my spirit to hear all these songs that I've been affiliated with over all these years. Wonderful feeling.
Yeah, and I believe that, well, I know you are. You're working with, you've just worked with Michael White and a guy called Jimmy Levine on a new album called Share My Love on Funk Records, which is going very well.
Yeah, and it's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful CD. It's the kind of CD that as an artist you like to affiliate yourself with, because there are class people that are involved. You respect everybody else's work, and so when you have an opportunity to do something on a project like that, you seem to dig a little deeper inside yourself. The Jimmy Levine project is one of the rare projects that I did all the background on and did most of the background arrangements on. It really wasn't work. It's one of those kind of projects where the music supersedes the effort to make it. And so you find yourself caught up on doing the best job that you can, making sure that arrangement-wise it fits inside the pocket. It's just a wonderful project. For those of your listeners who don't have it, you need to run out and get the new Jimmy Levine record. You will find some stark surprises on it, and it probably will bring back a lot of great memories.
Thank you, Phil Perry. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Jimmy.
How are you? Phil Perry, it is a blessing to hear some of the tracks that I am so familiar with throughout your career. Man, you are awesome. And let me correct you on one thing. You arranged every vocal track on Share My Love CD. You did all of the vocal arrangements. An amazing job. Well done. You know, you mentioned that, if I may, I don't mean to interrupt in your interview, but Michael wanted me to surprise you, and so here we are. You mentioned Michael McGlory. You mentioned Chuck Jackson, Marvin Yancey. Well, Michael McGlory is one of the, I mean, he's just a great, phenomenal guitar player. Michael and I came up together out of Berkeley, California.
Right.
We were in a band together. We backed up a group called the Deltones. And Marvin, when I went with Marvin, Michael went with the Jacksons. He started working with Jermaine Jackson. I think he even produced Dazzle of the Stand for Jermaine Jackson back in those days.
Wow.
Right. And Michael was signed as a Motown producer. And he and I worked together again on an Anna Gay group called the Pool House Gang. And the members of that group was Jerry Knight. This was before radio, the group radio. Oh, Phil, what a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful voice you have, man.
And you just happened to bring up Jerry Knight. You know, I sing on a song that Jerry Knight recorded called I'm Down for That. Blast record before he passed away.
That's right, Jerry. Jerry's no longer with us. What a great bass player. Great bass player.
And great arranger. He had ears like an elephant, man. He had such arranging concepts, and he was so deep in his arrangement. You know, he would get into the theory of the chord that you were building and pick the passing lines based on the chord that was built. I mean, you don't run into cats like that very often. I still miss Jerry Knight.
Oh, we miss Jerry Knight very well. He was, to me, he was the rhythm, bass rhythm behind Bill Withers did his track. That was Jerry Knight, his first big hit record. That was Jerry Knight playing the bass on it.
Oh, that's When I Love You.
Yep, that's right. That was Jerry Knight that came up with that formula for the rhythm.
And what a great arrangement that was based around Jerry's playing too, man. That's what I was saying earlier. When you go back into the audio files of people that have 30, 35 year careers, you're reminded of the growth that takes place, or that should take place, in the music genre of someone that's been doing it for that long. And when you bring up Jerry Knight, you make me think of so many other people, man. Jerry Peters.
Yep.
I mean, I worked with Jerry Peters on a lot of different projects. There's so many people. I've been really blessed in my life, Michael, to have had the opportunity to work with people that are dedicated to the music, not to the marketing.
To the music.
Music.
And you mentioned Michael White, who is a very, very, very dear friend. I consider him my little brother. I met Michael Field back in the Chicago days when I was working with Kurt Tom Records. Michael played the drums and percussions, as he did on my current album, on two special projects that we did for the third time, Capitol Records. TTF with the group back in the day. That would be back in 79, 80. And a Spunk album, Mike, which is a group that with three producers, myself, Jesse Boyce, and Richard Tufel. And when I came back to California, I left California to go to Chicago to do some work. When I came back to California, Michael called me and said, "Hey, Jimmy, I'm on my way, man. That's where I need to be." And in 82, he came out, and lo and behold, Michael is, I love Michael so, so much.
He's a talented man, man. He's just, his talent knows no bounds. He's just immensely talented. He's immensely nice. He's the kind of guy that you want to take around your kids if your kids show an interest or aptitude in music. He's just a nurturing, loving spirit that is totally dedicated to the music.
And I owe Michael all of the credit for the people that, I mean, just the lineup of talent and superstars a part of my Share My Love project. Michael and I were trying to figure out who we can get and what and how they fit within the song and then the scope of the project and the planning. And Michael White did all of that, and so well he did it. Howard, Phil Perry, Kevin Dorsey, Mesa Leek, Lori Terry
from Switch,
Phil Ingram,
unbelievable.
I mean, Michael White, his connection and his relationships throughout the industry is bar none. Throughout the world, actually. I mean, Michael Paolo, he's worked. Michael Paolo, before Michael Paolo's name was even known, Michael White was working. I took Michael White up to Anna Gay's house back in the early 80s. When he started, that's when he worked with Patrice Rushen. He did the Switch, the Gene Van Buren album. He did the DeBarge album. Michael White, you know, I love him.
Yeah, if you have your listeners Google Michael White, you're going to find him on so many records that you didn't know he was on. It's going to shock you.
Where is the love?
Discovery. I couldn't actually get a word in there, you know. Phil Perry live on the phone with Jimmy Levine. Share My Love, that track. The album's called Share My Love. Phil, it's hard to stop him talking when once he goes, isn't it?
It is from time to time difficult to get a word in edgewise.
what's the future hold for you, Phil?
I'm sorry, please say it again.
Yeah, what's the future? What's up and coming in the next year for you?
Well, I'm presently doing another record for Shanaki, which is a follow-up to the classic Love Song CD.
Right, okay.
Jimmy and I and some other people are trying to get together to come over there and do some shows. We're committed to blocking out, you know, a 6 to 8 week period to try to cover as much of that part of the world as we can. For your listeners out there who might just have stumbled up on this program, may I suggest to them that there's a world of music out there that isn't getting covered by major radio. And it's like, for people like you, Mike, for internet providers and for internet podcast kind of broadcasts that expose people to music that they don't hear in the mainstream all the time. I just want to take this opportunity on behalf of all of us to thank you for the exposure that you're giving us in that part of the world.
Well, when you've got great singers like yourselves, you need to be heard, definitely.
But it's not me, man. It's the music.
Yeah, definitely. It's the music.
In the 40s, in the 50s, it was always about the music. If you put as much intention and as much heart and as much spirit as you can muster at any given day, when you're in the studio and just give all of yourself to the music, believe me, the music takes care of itself.
Mm. Absolutely, absolutely. And Phil is right. We, McDonald, I think we've talked a while about a few weeks back about doing dates in your area as well. And I've invited Phil Perry. I've invited, once we get everything, you know, certified and everything is off and running, I did invite Michael to actually host one of the shows in his area.
Well, that's a good idea, since you put us on the lam at 5 o'clock in the morning. The least you know? Come on.
Nick, you know it?
Now, Mike, you know you owe me, right?
I do, big time.
So when I come over, we'll have to figure out. Maybe we'll go to an Indian restaurant, or maybe we'll go and check out some of the UK cuisine. But you're going to owe me when I get over there. But it'll be cool. We'll have fun. Don't worry.
Okay, we're gonna have to tie it up now, lads. I'm very sorry. I could go on for hours like this, because there's so much we could play and talk about, and all them artists that you've worked with. But
you're just thankful that you've given me the opportunity to speak with your audience and remind them of how long my career has been through associations like Jimmy and Mike White and some of the other people that we mentioned. It's you think that it's a blessing for us to be talking to you from this side of the world, but we perceive it as we are the recipients of the blessing just to have the music exposed and for people to respond to it again. It's wonderful. Thank you, Mike.
I'd like to tell you all a story, if you listen. For happy memories are few, so have a chair. Live!